Hi, I'm Amon.
And I'm Lena.
And welcome to Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant.
Huzzah!
So, Amon, what are we talking about today?
We are talking about everything. Everywhere. All at once.
That was really good dramatic delivery. I like that. That was good.
All lowercase, actually. We're actually going to be talking about just everything and every place on the planet and in the universe, and we're going to talk about it all at the same time.
Okay, so we don't have time for that. I personally don't have time for that. But we are going to talk about the uppercase movie title, Everything Everywhere All at Once, starring Michelle Yeoh and
also
other people. Right. But like
other people. Oh my God.
I know. It's so bad. Hold on.
We're obviously big fans of Michelle Yeoh, so sorry to all the other actors who also did an amazing job in this movie, including Stephanie Hsu, Ke Huy Quan, the famous James Hong, and also the famous Jamie Lee Curtis.
And we apologize in advance if we are mispronouncing anyone's names.
Also, we're huge Michelle Yeoh fans.
Right. Okay. Okay. So what was your first impressions in general of the movie?
I loved this movie. It started off slow, but it started off slow for a reason. And it was just brilliant. I mean, brilliant storytelling, brilliant use of sci-fi, and it really encompassed, in my opinion, the best that science fiction has to offer. Science fiction utilized for its best purpose, which is to explore the human condition and to explore a very human question in a setting where you would not be able to tease it out in the real world. That, in my opinion, is the ultimate and best use of science fiction. And this movie does it.
Yeah. I thought it was one of the most insane movies I've ever seen, but also brilliant, obviously, as well. I had no idea what to expect once things started rolling. And I was like, I don't even know where we're going with this. The comedy in the movie, the randomness of like the whole, like, you have to do something random and weird in order to like trigger another or to jump to another universe or open, you know, like go to another timeline or something like that. And I was like, this is so strange. Like, I don't even know. I'm impressed just by the fact that the filmmakers could get this idea down on paper. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I mean, it was, I agree, totally insane watching this, totally random. But, you know, after I watched the movie, I sat and I thought about it. And you know what? It completely blew my mind. It all hangs together. With actual theories, scientific theories that are out there. I mean, this is taking a lot of very, very theoretical physics and assuming that it is real and taking it to like that conclusion of like, what if these highly theoretical notions in physics actually existed, you know? But it, even in line with that, it hangs together, which is crazy, especially after you watch the movie and you're like, what the shit was this randomness?
Yeah. But that's, and it was, I mean, obviously the other forms of multiverse storytelling that we've seen are all from Marvel so far. Mostly from Marvel. The most popular ones are from Marvel. Yeah.
In recent years. Right. I mean, the multiverse has been around for a very long time. Or in movie storytelling and TV storytelling, it actually has been around for quite a while. But the most recent, most popular iteration of it is in the Marvel movies.
Point. Yeah. I'm saying that's the most popular versions of it that we've seen. And And although I was very moved by Avengers Endgame and I loved it and was definitely like crying, laughing, whatever, at some point in the theater while watching that movie for the first time, this one just hit right in the feelings with this movie.
It did.
And mm-hmm. it was not about trying to save the entire planet. It was not trying to even save a town, a country, whatever. You know, it was just about this one family trying yeah. to hold on and hold together. And
yeah,
that's what, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I thought that was more powerful. It is more powerful because obviously everyone can relate to that. You can yeah. relate to wanting to improve your relationship with your mother or your father and all that. So
your kid.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's just, yeah, I don't know. I didn't know what to expect when going in to see this movie at all. And
right.
And it was so, it really was everything everywhere all at once. Like it was so yes. many different themes that they touched on. I mean, it was the mother-daughter relationship, the husband-wife relationship, the whole idea of dreams deferred, you know, like, I mean, she,
right.
there were so many things that Michelle Yeoh's character wanted to do and be. And in one timeline, she doesn't get to do any of those things, you know, but yeah. another one she does. And so it's so interesting. Like, I still don't know how they explored all of those topics so thoroughly within right. one movie. Like, I don't know what I watched. Like, how did they do this? Like, that's how I feel about it.
But like in a good way.
Right. In a great way.
Yeah. Like having seen this movie, you know, it's like, I couldn't even explain all these like thematic things that you just touched on mm-hmm. and cramming it into one movie. I couldn't even, after having watched this movie and thoroughly enjoying it, I still couldn't tell somebody else how you should do a movie like this.
Right. I mean,
where you cover all this stuff. It was, yeah, it blew me away.
Like, I feel like I could get a PhD in just studying this movie and just being like, how the hell did y'all do this? Like,
right.
That there's one scene where mm-hmm. Evelyn, Michelle Yeoh's character, and her daughter Joy, they're rocks. Remember that scene
yes.
where they're just rocks? And I read a fun piece of trivia that originally that scene was going to have them voicing over the lines that they have. Okay. But Michelle Yeoh suggested that scene be silent and just have subtitles. Remember it was completely
yeah,
silent that scene
yeah.
and you were just reading subtitles of what they were saying. And that scene was so moving. I mean,
The rocks were powerful.
How were they that powerful? They were literally just rocks and
yeah.
they didn't even have any sort of animation overlaid on the rocks, right? It was just rocks.
Well, at one point, one of the rocks ended up with googly eyes.
That's true. But before that, like the original scene.
Yeah, it was just a scene. It was yeah. like, it could have just been a still photo. And it was, and with the added subtitled text, it was emotionally moving.
It was so beautiful. That scene, yeah. I never thought I could just stare at a bunch of rocks and be that moved. It was so good. I also thought the brilliance of the bagel. I mean, when Joy was like, or Joe Buttapake was like, well, I took a bagel and I put everything on it. You're like, what? Like, what?
Like, I mean, the movie is so ridiculous. So like, I feel like we should give a disclaimer that like, you know, we're going to get into spoilers in this, but obviously. This movie is so insane. It's almost like, why bother with that? You're not going to understand what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Like nothing in the movie is going to be ruined for you because this thing is so insane. You're not right. going to get it unless you watch it.
Should we give it? Did we even give a synopsis of this movie?
No, we did not. No. Maybe we should do that.
Right. So it's about this woman. The main character is Michelle Yeoh. Her character's name is Evelyn Wang. And she and her husband, Waymond, have a laundromat. And they are dealing with a lot of, I don't even know, like tax issues or they need all that stuff. She's the whole movie starts off with Evelyn. She's got like a pile of receipts on the kitchen table and she's trying to sort through things because they have a meeting with the IRS.
Yep.
And the IRS agent person is Jamie Lee Curtis, who was also exceptional in the movie, I thought.
Oh, she was all so, so good.
So good. And they have a daughter whose name is Joy. And so she's like college. No, like 21, maybe right out of college or something.
Maybe, yeah.
She is figuring out her way in the world and trying to feel accepted both by her family and the world in general, I think.
Yeah.
And so there's this clash happening between the mother and daughter. There's also this clash happening between Evelyn and Waymond, because Waymond is on the verge of trying to divorce her. And she doesn't know that yet. Anyway, while they are in the IRS building, she has an encounter with Alpha Waymond, which is Waymond from another timeline, another universe.
Yeah.
And he has come to find her because out of all the different Evelyns in the entire multiverse, she is the only one who can apparently save the multiverse and the universe and whatever.
Yes.
So, which I thought was brilliant. Also brilliant, right? Like it's not.
Yes.
And then, you know, throughout the course of the movie, we see all these different Evelyns on different timelines. In one of them, she's like some sort of like martial arts master. And another one, she's a very famous movie star, which is essentially Michelle Yeoh's life. And, you know, and it's like, and, you know, like she has all these, there's like all these other timelines where she has done, you know, seemingly relatively cooler things than what she's doing in this timeline, which is running a laundromat with her husband.
A failing laundromat.
Yeah. And she defied her family's wishes by marrying this guy, by marrying Waymond. So there's also that dynamic too. There was also the dynamic between her and her father. So yeah, that's basically the synopsis. I don't even know what else to explain anymore, how to explain it. There's googly eyes involved and bagels and hot dog fingers.
Yes. And rocks.
And rocks.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So I think it's worth it to try to explain some of the science fiction-y aspects of this of this movie. I feel like after that almost completely pointless synopsis, pointless in the sense, not that you did a bad job of explaining what was in their lineup, but I feel like with everything that you explained, it's not going to give anybody an actual idea of what this movie is actually like to watch, because it really is just so wild. But sort of the science fiction background of this is that the multiverse is real, all right? It's the multiverse as all of us are familiar with it in a pop culture kind of way, which is the idea that for every decision that every single person has ever made, there is a universe where the exact opposite decision was made. And that then sprouts a whole new universe where things are moving based on that decision. And in one of these universes, they figure out a way to move their consciousnesses, their consciousness across different universes. So you're not moving your physical body. You're not teleporting.
Right.
Your mind is inhabiting the mind of your doppelganger, basically, in another universe. The way that happens is that you've got a little device on your head and you have to do an action that is calculated by some kind of computer to take you to a specific universe. And it's some kind of it has to be a completely unexpected action that you take that will then allow you to move to another universe. And it's going to be something like completely wild. At one point, you know, Wayman is trying to access the skills of another version of him who's like some kind of martial arts master or something in another universe. He's trying to access this one specific doppelganger skills. And to get there, he has to give himself a paper cut between each of his fingers.
Yeah, that was so gross.
But that's the idea, is that it has to be something so improbable.
Yeah.
All right. But what that improbable action is something that is calculated by some computer. It can't just be any improbable action. It has to be a specific kind of improbable action to take you to a specific universe. Mm-hmm. So not only is the multiverse involved in this, to get there, there's a lot of chaos theory. All right. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with chaos theory, chaos theory is basically the idea that if you have any kind of a chaos system is one where the initial circumstances of a situation have greater and more unpredictable effects the further away you get from that initial starting point. The simplest example of this is a pendulum with two pivot points. All right. You have the point at which a rod is swinging, mm-hmm. and then you have another joint in the middle of it. All right.
Okay.
Based on how you start the pendulum, the end point of the rod is going to swing in a very predictable manner.
Right.
All right. But as time goes on and this double jointed rod keeps swinging, you're going to be less and less able to predict which way this end point is going to move.
Okay.
Does that make sense at all?
So you're gesturing a lot with your hands.
I am.
And which is fine. Great. But,
this is an audio podcast. I can see
you, but I don't really. What do you mean double jointed with the pendulum?
Okay.
Explain that again.
So let's say you have a rod.
Yes.
All right. And you grab it at one end.
Right.
Okay. Or you have it on a pivot.
Okay.
All right. Where you pick up the rod, you drop it. It's going to swing in a very predictable fashion.
Yeah.
All right. Back and forth.
Right.
All right. And as time goes on, you'll be able to calculate quite easily it's slowing down, right, and things like that. And you'll be able to predict its path for quite a lengthy period of time. Mm-hmm. Now, if in the middle of this rod, you add a ball joint, all right?
Uh-huh.
The end of the rod is now going to swing in a less predictable fashion.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to predict more easily how the end of that rod, the path that the end of that rod is going to take at the beginning of the motion.
Yeah.
All right.
But not as it keeps swinging.
And as time goes on, as it keeps swinging, it's going to get harder and harder to predict it. All right. Okay. And where you started off from, the swing from, you move it a quarter centimeter higher. All right.
Mm-hmm.
An eighth of an inch to the left or to the right. That is going to have a much greater impact the further away you get from the starting point.
Okay.
All right.
What's going to have a much greater impact?
The unpredictability of it is going to be greater. All right. The ultimate example for chaos theory is if a butterfly flaps its wings in Brazil, could it cause a tornado in Texas?
Fuck, what? Also, I thought you said the ultimate example was these freaking rods, and now you're talking about butterflies in Brazil.
But that's like the most common saying. Haven't you heard that? A butterfly flapping its wings somewhere in China, like, can cause a tornado. Yeah,
I have heard it. I've never spent time thinking about it. So that's where I'm at. Okay. So
continue. The reason that is used as a metaphor, A, is that that is a very extreme example.
Right.
All right. But the point of that example is that in terms of chaos theory is that when the butterfly flaps its wings in its immediate vicinity, you will know what happens to the air currents and air particles around the wing flapping of this butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But the further and further away you get from the butterfly, the harder and harder it is to calculate what's happening to the air particles.
Okay.
It may dissipate. The effects of that butterfly flapping its wings may dissipate,
mm-hmm.
or it may continue to have an impact the further and further out it goes. But that the further and further away you get from the butterfly, the harder and harder it is to predict what that impact will be. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that impact could be as extreme as eventually causing a tornado in Texas. Could, potentially. That's so the idea of chaos theory and a chaotic system.
And this is also, I guess, similar to how we talk about how, for example, our choices that we make could have ripple effects down the road. Many years later or geographically away from you, whatever,
And unpredictable mm-hmm. impacts the further away you get from that decision point of origin. So going back to everything, everywhere, all at once, the reason that I've been going on this huge, long explanation of chaos theory, albeit very poorly, is that...
It's okay, Amon. I'm just dumb.
You're not dumb-ish.
Wow. Okay.
But the reason it's relevant to this is that in this universe hopping, the reason you're doing this very, very unpredictable act is that the unpredictable act with a computer that is powerful enough could lead you to a universe where that impact would have a decision that leads you to that specific endpoint of that you're trying to get to in the multiverse.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, it's still science fiction. Right. All right. But in terms of multiverse theory, chaos theory, it kind of works.
Yeah.
And I love that about this movie is that the science of it, as weird and crazy as this movie is, it felt like it. I mean, I'm no expert in these fields, but it kind of hangs together.
Yeah.
And I love that when science fiction hangs together with science fact. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, I had no idea that it was hanging together because I was like, this shit is crazy. But that's good to know that it was the science was being held up in this movie. So.
Yes. There is just one teeny tiny flaw in how the multiverse is explained. And that is a flaw in all multiverse movies. Pop culture, as best as I can tell. So the way the multiverse is portrayed in science fiction is that every time you make a decision, it spawns another universe. Mm-hmm. But that's not what actual multiverse theory is. Actual multiverse theory is that at the point that the universe came into existence, all right, mm-hmm. The moment of the Big Bang.
Yeah.
All right. There was a rapid expansion of the universe. And in this rapid expansion, like within the first couple seconds of the Big Bang happening, different parts of the universe were expanding at different rates. All right. Mm-hmm. And these different rates of expansion could potentially lead to parts of the universe breaking off from that initial Big Bang and becoming disconnected universes.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
No, sorry. Could you repeat that again?
So
at the moment of the Big Bang, what? Say it again.
In the initial moments of the Big Bang, all right, the expansion of the universe was happening at different rates.
Yeah.
All right. And the thing is that because of the different rates of expansions, theoretically, parts of this expanding universe could have broken off
mm-hmm.
and become universes of their own with their own laws of physics and everything. However, since the universe conceptually is infinite, this breaking off of other universes within the initial moments of the Big Bang, there would have been an infinite number of them. And when you're dealing with a number like infinity, all right, like there is another universe, theoretically, that is exactly the same as the one that we're living in right now. Right. Exactly the same. Mm-hmm. All right. Every decision up to that point. But since it's infinite, since the number of these universes is infinite, all right, you could end up with small changes like the way we think about it, where every decision spawns a universe. All right. Mm-hmm. Except the flaw is that the decision making is not what causes a new universe to come into formation.
Right.
It means that all these universes already exist and have already and always existed.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, because that goes, I mean, that's completely different from what every movie slash TV show about the multiverse has always been about.
Yeah. It's not that you making a decision spawns another universe. Mm-hmm. It's that there's already a universe exactly like the one you're in.
Where you made that, that other decision.
Except for that one decision that was made differently. Yes. Mm. It's always been there.
It's always been there, yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. And it's all happening at the same time.
So it's kind of like you could think of it in the way that whatever decision you make, it's almost like universe hopping yourself. Like, yeah, that is kind of a way of doing it, right?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a lot.
It all hangs together in the movie.
Yeah.
Theoretically. Yeah. In a science fiction-y kind of way.
Well, I don't know. Now I can't really remember. Did they go into the movie about, like, the explanation of the multiverses? Like, did they explain it as if, oh, every decision you make, like, sprouted a new universe? Is that how they explain it in the movie? I don't think they never
explained it in that way. Mm-hmm. They more explained it in terms of there's a version of you out there that does think that made one decision that was different. All right. They didn't necessarily say that, oh, you making this different decision sprouts a duplicate universe where instead the opposite decision is made.
Right.
The impact is kind of the same, but it's still different.
Yeah. Now,
did I melt your brain?
No, I'm about to melt my brain more because I'm thinking about how time travel mixes in with all of this, which at this point I don't even want to bring in time travel because it's
here's
like,
the thing.
Yeah,
the movie is called Everything, mm-hmm. Everywhere, All at Once.
Yeah,
not Every When.
Right.
There's actually no time travel in this movie.
Yeah, there's none. Exactly.
There is no time travel.
Right. I'm thinking about like the Avengers movies.
Oh, yeah.
Where,
yeah.
And in Endgame, they had introduced that whole, like, you know, they basically were saying like, if you go back in time, you're starting a new timeline. It's not like,
right,
affecting things in the present anymore, right?
Yes.
like that was their whole like basically everything that was like all previous classic time travel movies, they were just like, no, right, those are dumb.
Yes, basically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically. But it's, I don't know, there's a whole other conversation with the theoretical science behind Endgame because the way they time travel is in quantum, all right, and the way the thing is that in Avengers, they're not talking about the multiverse in the way mm-hmm. that I just explained it, or the way that Everything, Everywhere, All at Once explains it and operates in it.
Mm-hmm.
They're more thinking of the multiverse in terms of changes in time.
Right.
Not pre-existing universes. However, the possibility that that leaves open is that if a timeline branches off,
mm-hmm.
it could still theoretically rejoin the original timeline.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It doesn't have to go off into infinity.
Right.
It might. It could. But it could also come back.
Yeah.
Like veer off,
mm-hmm.
exist as an other universe of its own, but then rejoin the timeline, like end up at the same end point.
So that's another interesting thing too about the Marvel universe, right, is that mm-hmm. they treat it as if there is one main timeline. It is like the true timeline and whatever. I guess that's all what Loki was all about. And it's like, I'm rolling my eyes already. but in the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once, there was obviously, we as the audience members, we came into one timeline, Evelyn Wang, right, where the laundromat owner, you know.
Into one universe.
Right, into one universe, sorry. But universe slash timeline. But so in our minds, you know, that's, we see that as the main one because that's the first one that we were introduced to, the first Evelyn that we were introduced to. But they didn't necessarily say, like, you know, they weren't trying to say, like, there's only one correct universe or there's only one main one. You know, like, it's just we happen to be focusing on this one. So
And the thing is that they treat it that way in the Marvel universe because they are talking about timelines. But in Everything Everywhere All at Once, they're not talking about timelines. They're talking about different universes.
Right.
That, if you look at the multiverse theory, have always existed.
Right.
From the very beginning.
Right.
Wow. I know that's a little bit mind-bending.
That's just like crazy to think about, right? Like, it's just wild.
Wow.
I think I need to like go stare off into space or something for the next 5 hours and just think about this, process this conversation. Okay, well, I mean, that's all I have to contribute about, you know, theoretical physics stuff. I had other things that I want to talk about.
Let's go back to the movie,
right?
Because I feel like there's so many themes in this movie from a storytelling perspective.
Right. Well, first off, another trivia thing that I read was the filmmakers were initially going to have the main character be a man. And I think they were originally thinking about casting Jackie Chan.
Okay.
And
that makes sense.
Right. And then I think when they switched the idea to have the main character be a woman, like, they were still thinking about having Jackie Chan as the husband. But I really loved the actor who played Waymond. I'm totally going to butcher his name, but his name is Ke Huy Quan. And also another fun fact about him is,
Are you about to say Short Round?
Short Round. What do you mean?
He's the kid. He was in the Temple of Doom. In the Indiana Jones Temple of Doom.
Come on. Way to ruin my fun fact. Okay. But
sorry.
Yes, that was his like prior role. The actual fun fact is he hasn't had a major role in anything in 20 years. Like, this is the first major role that he's done in 20 years. And he was phenomenal. He was amazing. So good. Absolutely. I mean, like, it was incredible. But anyway, okay, so going back to my initial thing that I was bringing up, how do you think, I mean, I don't know, this is like a no-brainer kind of question, but just like, I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the fact that they changed the main character to be a woman versus a man. I thought that was very interesting.
You know, I think it just proves to me, like, I feel like from a storytelling perspective, there is more to explore with Evelyn Wong being a woman as opposed to it being a male character in terms of the kinds of family dynamics they were able to explore.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it made more sense to me from, no, actually it didn't make more. No, I think there was more to explore in terms of familial relationships in terms of this being from a woman's perspective. But then when I think about, like, if Evelyn Wong had been a man, all right, Steve Wong, all right, I feel like they would have been able to tell the exact same story. This was something I feel like, yes, they did have to make a decision of whether it was, of whether the main character would be a man or a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the story would have been just as powerful either way, which, I don't know, kind of says to me that, you know, you pick the best actor for the role.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, it doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman.
Yeah. I don't. I mean, I see, like, what you're saying.
What made the performance powerful was that it was specifically Michelle Yeoh inhabiting the role.
Yes. I do also, and I don't know, maybe this is because I am a woman, and I thought it was pretty powerful to have this focusing not just on a woman, but an immigrant woman, an Asian woman, you know, and whereas, like, just even like the beginning scenes, I was like, wow, I feel all the stress that mm-hmm. Evelyn has in her life. And a lot of it is from just being a woman, you know, like a lot of times women are, they are forced to think more practically because they're trying to figure out how to provide for their families and whatever and all this stuff. And there's a lot of, you know, unpaid labor that women do in general. Like, there's a lot of statistics to back this up, that even if both the husband and wife are working, women end up doing a lot more of the unpaid labor of just like maintaining their household. And so I immediately just felt all of that. And I don't think that would have, well, sure, you know, like if this had been, if Waymond was the main character, you know, like there's definitely a lot of stressors that he was dealing with and all this stuff. But like I feel like men get to have that hero's journey, right?
Yes.
And for women, I don't know. Like, it's not always a hero's journey, but by the end of this movie, it did feel like Evelyn had her own hero's journey throughout this whole thing. And she figured out a lot of things about herself, about her relationships with her family members and all this stuff. Right. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, so I think it was a big deal to make the main character be a woman, but it also, like, it would have been a different movie had it not been Michelle Yeoh. You know, like, it's just...
Yeah.
Like, and it would have been a completely different movie had it not been about an Asian family, for example. You know, like, it's just that all these things, all these decisions that the filmmakers made mattered.
Yes, they did. However, I feel like, and I'm just, obviously, this is all hypothetical, but I feel like they could have written a very similar story about an Asian immigrant family in America running a laundromat where the main focus is on the stressed out male of the household who is dealing with the tax issue, dealing with trying to make sure that their parent, elderly, straight from the homeland, doesn't find out that their kid is gay, you know, because they're afraid of that. I feel like a lot of those same story beats could have been told from a male perspective, but I think that it is more powerful being told from a woman's perspective, even if you could have told the exact same story with the same kind of stressors from a man's point of view.
Yes. I also think mothers in general are dismissed far more easily than fathers.
Yes. But at the same time, you could easily write a story where, you know, you have like somebody like Jackie Chan, who's, you know,
who
then goes into an IRS office and is like, I'm sorry, but like, I don't know, this is a karaoke machine.
No. I know that. I'm talking about society in general. The way that society views women, first of all, abysmal, right? Also the way that society in general views mothers is they're very much taken for granted. I'm talking about like from personal experience. I feel like there are a lot more things I appreciate about our mother now that I've been married for a few years, you know, like, I mean, really, like, it's just like a lot of things that I just didn't realize that our mom was always like doing and working on, like things I didn't fully appreciate, you know?
Right.
And like, in terms of just running a household of your own, you know, and like meal planning, like that, that shit takes time and effort. It really does. And
yeah, meal planning fucking sucks.
It really does. But so I thought it was, like, that's why I really liked that they chose a woman. They chose a mother to be the main character, because it's like, yeah, guess what? This woman, she does a lot and she's going to save the multiverse, you know, like she's.
Yeah.
And she's not someone to be dismissed. And like, sure, in this universe, she didn't become a martial arts master or a movie star. But like, guess what? She's still going to save the multiverse. And so, I love that. That was great. And then in addition to that, it was just the whole, the mother-daughter relationship Mm-hmm. And just the way, I don't even know. I mean, like the way that whole thing played out, it was just where like apparently, you know, the daughter needed space to figure herself out, but she was always coming back to her mom because she needed her mom too. Yeah. And then the mom also, you know, like Evelyn needed to figure her own shit out.
Yeah.
So that she could be the mother that her daughter needed as well.
And on top of that, there was this additional cultural barrier that I thought was very interesting, where Evelyn and Joy were having difficulty communicating because there was this sort of half beat of a language barrier, but also a half beat of a cultural barrier, where Joy was born and raised here in the US, has a certain way of interpreting the world and interpreting certain comments. And then you've got Evelyn, who, even though she moved to the US and had lived in the US for a very long time, had a certain way of trying to show love and affection to her daughter that didn't come across that way.
Right.
All right. Like, a couple of moments really stuck out to me. And these were moments where my wife and I actually laughed in the theaters because we understood it and nobody else chuckled.
Right.
All right. Where Evelyn has this moment, she's like, all right, I gotta connect with my daughter right now. All right. I need to say something loving to her in this moment. This is earlier on in the movie. And she goes, Joy, you need to eat. I want you to eat more healthy.
Yeah.
You're getting fat.
Right. And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah. It was absolutely an oh my God moment. But if you understand the culture from which Evelyn is originally grew up in, you're like, she's trying to show her daughter love and support actually by giving her some advice to help her improve her life.
Right.
Like in the US, the way you would say that is, honey, eat your vegetables. I want you to be healthy. Right. Not, you're getting fat.
Yeah.
Eat more veggies. But like for Evelyn, that was her way of trying to show affection. But due to this cultural barrier, even with her own daughter, it didn't come across that way at all.
Yeah.
And then again, at the end of the movie, there's this moment where Evelyn is showing acceptance of Joy's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And the way she does that is, what was her name?
Becky? The girlfriend's name?
Yeah, the girlfriend's name.
I think her name was Becky, right?
I'm going to go with Becky because it works.
Yes, her name was Becky.
She goes, and Becky has this haircut where she's like shaved side of one side of her head right over the ear. And she goes, Becky, grow your hair out. And it's like, and it's actually a moment where she's not actually trying to be dismissive or insulting, or it's not actually a way of her trying to push Becky away. It's actually a way for her to pull Becky into her family.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But it's a cultural bear. It's a cultural difference, you know, where she's like you would never say that to a stranger who you're trying to push away. Like from Evelyn's point of view, you wouldn't tell somebody who you're trying to push away, hey, grow out your hair. That's something you say to your own kid.
Right.
All right. So there's this also this like cultural barrier that existed that they're trying to overcome. And I absolutely love that they showed that. I mean, it was sad to me that my wife and I were the only ones who seemed to understand that in the theater when we saw it, but I liked it.
Yeah.
It hit home for me in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And then lastly, I just want to shout out the whole Evelyn and Waymond relationship where, and that was another brilliant thing, right? About Joy was, you know, she was like spiraling into a depression essentially.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Waymond was trying to keep things together by being overly optimistic about things. And literally he likes putting googly eyes on random objects to make people laugh and smile. And so that was the way that all of that converged together then, you know, in the movie. And like when Evelyn realizes that like that's Wayman's way of dealing with life's difficulties, is to remain hopeful and optimistic.
Yeah.
You know, whereas Joy is really struggling and kind of like digging herself into a deeper depression. And so that was just brilliant too. And I loved the actor who plays Wayman, brilliant, because when they showed the universe where she's a movie star and then he comes to see her movie, yeah, and they have that whole conversation about, oh, what if they had run away together like they had always planned, and which Evelyn and Wayman did do that, you know, but in the movie star universe, they hadn't done that. And she had kind of taken the practical route and like not disobeyed her family.
And then became a kung fu master and movie star.
Right. I mean, that was cool too. But, you know, like, I love that line that Wayman says where he's like, you know, in another time or something, I would have loved doing laundry and taxes with you.
Yeah.
And I was that like, and it was, I mean, it just showed, right, again, that love and choosing to love someone and being with someone, it's a choice you make every single day.
Yeah.
And you continue to make that choice. And that's something Evelyn had forgotten, where mm-hmm. the multiverse and Wayman, the several Waymans, reminded her of that.
Right. And what I also loved about this movie, about the Evelyn-Wayman relationship, and the way is that, like, it was actually just as critical of an exploration as the mother-daughter relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because at first, you know, you're introduced to Wayman and you're like, oh, he's just the goofy husband.
Right.
All right. And also just a medium, just a way for through which Evelyn learns about the multiverse.
Right.
But in exploring the multiverse, you also explore all the possibilities of the husband-wife partnership, of the mm-hmm. husband-wife relationship. And in the end, one of the big challenges that Evelyn overcomes, she overcomes because she learns something from Rich Wayman, mm-hmm. who she doesn't end up with. She learns a new perspective from her.
Yeah.
From her husband, basically, mm-hmm. all right, because of the multiverse. And she all of a sudden understood the way he operates,
yeah,
in the world, and was like, wait, that may not actually be the wrong way mm-hmm. to operate in the world. And she learned from that and actually used that learning to overcome this particular difficulty at the end of the movie. The reason I'm saying particular difficulty is not because I'm trying to not ruin anything for anyone, but because literally it's just going to take too long to explain.
It's going to take too long, yeah.
Because this movie is just that wild.
Right.
But I just thought that was wonderful. It was one of the really, it's so masterful in this movie, how they explore so many different themes so thoroughly mm-hmm. with such little screen time.
Yeah.
I mean, and we haven't even talked about James Hong's brilliance as an actor,
yeah,
where he shows up as like this like old non-English speaking grandfather who's like weak and frail and everything. And in an instant now, he is acting as basically the head of a powerful organization in another universe speaking perfect, fluent English.
Yeah.
All right.
That, yeah. I think in what were we a few weeks ago? What were we talking about? What was one of our episodes on that he was in? I can't even remember now. He's been in everything.
Everything.
I mean, and deservedly so, because he's amazing.
Yes. And that was something I loved about this movie. Every single actor in this movie took on multiple roles.
Mm-hmm.
And in taking on those multiple roles, they each did a brilliant job of actually exuding and incorporating a completely different person.
Yes.
You know, like last week we talked about Oscar Isaac in Moon Knight and how he takes on the different personas completely believably.
Yeah.
Between Stephen Grant and Mark Spector in the show Moon Knight. And in this movie, every single actor in this movie is doing exactly that thing at the exact same level.
Right.
I would mm-hmm. say. And it just shows you the amount of talent in this entire cast. Yeah. I mean, even Mr. Kwan, who hasn't acted in over 20 years, I was blown away.
Yeah. It was
by his skills as an actor. I was completely blown away. He was so good.
Yeah. Him and the daughter, I was particularly blown away by. Like, wow. Yeah.
Stephanie Hsu is also amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I would get into more, but, you know, there's not... We can't talk about everything everywhere all at once, unfortunately, due to the laws of physics.
Forever and ever, even though we want to. But yeah. But yeah, I feel like just talking about this has convinced me to rewatch this movie as soon as I can.
Yeah. So. Unfortunately, it was produced by A24, who is notorious for not letting things stream.
Yeah. I mean, one day?
The same. I mean, yeah, maybe one day. I mean, these are the same assholes who made Green Knight. Yeah. You remember the Green Knight. We did a whole episode on it.
Yes. Yeah.
Did not have as much fun watching that movie.
No, but this one was great.
This one was amazing, and I hope it streams soon.
Right. And if you haven't seen it, I mean, what are you waiting for?
Seriously, so good.
All right. Well, on that note, thanks as always for listening to Grounded Geeks.
And we'll catch you next week.